Do you wonder why it is I love him? Good to see everybody here today. I think we have a little bit better weather than we did on Wednesday. A little rough out there. I had some fun just trying to get home from work that day. That was not fun. All right, well, good to see everybody. Let's have an open word of prayer. Joe.
Eternal Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day and this blessed opportunity to worship your Son, Lord. I pray you give our brother the wisdom and knowledge he needs to minister to us. In the words of God, in Jesus' name we ask,
amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. I don't really have any special announcements for right now, with the exception of we haven't seen them in quite some time. It's going to be good to see Brother Paul Freeman, our founding pastor's dad, Jason's grandfather, Caleb's great-grandfather, etc. It'd be good to see all of them. It's been a long time since we've seen them, and they'll be here next week.
Hopefully. Yeah, they're still up in the air yet. So pray for them. My grandmother's been having a lot of problems with their legs, a lot of pain in their legs. Mm-hmm. And this trip is quite an undertaking. They're almost 90. So they're coming from Illinois. So pray for them. They may or may not. It's going to be a last-minute thing, whether they can get in the car and make that trip. So.
Okay. Well,
it may have to get postponed. They are really wanting to come in, but it may not happen this week. We'll see.
All right. Well, we'll pray that it does happen, and we'll see how it goes from there. So that's the only thing I have at the moment. So, all right. Let's get back to singing number 81, Whisper a Prayer. 81.
Save us and us.
Brother Pinto, we will turn it over to you now.
Well, it's a blessing for me to be here once again, and I appreciate Brother Jason, and I'm always trying to stay in somewhat in touch with him during the year and see how things are going. And I understand that you're still seeking God's will for God's man, and that's okay. You want God's will for this church. He has his man for this church. And the thing is, we just need to stay busy about doing what we know the Lord would have us do. While we are waiting, we're busy getting the gospel out, doing what we know God has spoken to us about, because there are many churches. I think I've already shared this with you at Heritage Baptist Church, where I was a member for many years before I moved to Maine. We went through a period without a pastor. And it's always an anxious, unsettling, kind of insecure time in the church's life. And we tend to, and it's just a natural thing, because the Bible does say that God's given to the church pastors for the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry. And we know that Jesus Christ is the shepherd, the chief shepherd, but he has given to the pastors the job of being the under shepherd. And sometimes when the under shepherd is not there, what happens, when the shepherd's not around, the sheep will what?
Scatter.
They'll tend to scatter. They'll tend to kind of go, oh, this looks good, and it goes over here, or, I think I'm going to go ahead and go over here, And so there's a purpose that God has in mind for pastors and for the church, and we see that obviously very spelled out very clearly in the New Testament. So let me encourage you to just stay faithful. Let me encourage you to pray. Certainly we want God to be involved in any big decisions that we make, any small decisions that we make. We understand that God is in control, but we want to make sure that the Holy Spirit is controlling us as we think through and wait upon the man that God has in mind for you. So stay faithful, and I'm glad to see familiar faces, and please forgive me if I don't remember all of their names, because I'm different churches, so many churches, and I'm terrible about remembering names anyway. So thank you so much for the accommodations last night and so forth. I got in and hit the rack, because really the last couple of weeks I've been out. Been to one of our major conferences, La Espada. And for those of you who may not remember, I'm a bilingual evangelist with La Espada Ministries. It's kind of like the sword of the Lord in that respect. We have conferences on revival and soul winning. We are local church focused, and we want to help churches be more effective in proactively reaching Spanish people. And so that's our ministry in a nutshell. Pray for our director, Dan Garlick. He has been diagnosed with cancer of the pancreas almost a month and a half ago now. And so he is in a battle that none of us were expecting. He just turned 60, just always being busy about the work of the ministry. This ministry of La Espada is huge. But for the first time, his sons, Ben and Jonathan, who are in their 20s, and have been really reared in this ministry, have taken the baton. And I told Brother Dan, I texted Brother Dan, I said, you can be proud of your sons. They've done a great job. We were down in the Atlanta area, south of Atlanta, and we were there for our conference that we have every year there regionally. And the Lord worked. I mean, God's word works. God's word is not bound. And so we're just thankful that the Lord moved in hearts. We had 11 folks surrender to full-time Christian work the last night of our meeting. And so we know that God is still working and using, even though, there are trials that come, difficulties that come, sickness that comes. You've experienced this, obviously, here. But we're trusting the Lord for God's will in regards to Brother Dan. So if you could, pray for Dan Garlick. Garlick as in garlic bread, okay? Some people mix that up with garlock, and they're thinking Frank Garlock. No, garlic. So I'm trying to make that clear. There's no relationship, and so but pray for Brother Dan Garlic. Okay, I do have prayer cards for myself that I'd be glad to leave with you. I think I've left some here before. I'm not sure, but I'm always forgetting to do that. But I would appreciate your prayers for myself as well. And we are going to be going on. We're taking each conference, one conference at a time. I will be going back down to Tennessee. I was in Tennessee for a little bit. I preached in a bilingual church there in Knoxville, and then one of my supporting churches in Pigeon Forge, right north of there of the Smoky Mountains there. And then I was in a church in southern New Hampshire on the way down, actually. And so the Lord has humbled me and allowed me to be a worker in the ministry, and I'm thankful for that. So if you'll pray for us, I know that we would greatly appreciate it, and Brother Dan would as well. Let's go to Luke chapter number 24. And what time do we normally quit? 25 after? Okay. This is going to be... something to kind of provoke us to do more of getting into the Word. Luke chapter 24, and just because of the context, and I want you to get the context, I'm going to go ahead and read through probably about 25 or so verses. I think it's important that we see the whole story here. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 1 says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they have prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the disciples, unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus drew near and went with them, and their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they had found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Father, we want to take this moment just to say thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll cleanse me. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll fill me. And I pray that you'll teach us, Father. Help us to see some truths from this passage, Father, that'll help us grow, that'll help us be more like your Son, that'll help us be more effective in reaching people. In Jesus' name, amen. I tried to picture this scene. I think I've said this before the last time I was with you, but I've been doing a chronological study of the life of Christ. Try to put all the Gospels together and see it as a flowing story. And one of the blessings that I've received personally from that is I've been able to see how the Lord had begun his ministry and had worked with the apostles, with the disciples. And I can see how the Lord, step by step, was trying to get them ready for the work that was coming in the book of Acts. And I saw at this point in this story something, of course, that the apostles, the disciples should have known, but it kind of caught them, in a sense, off guard when it shouldn't have. The greatest miracle ever that has occurred was the resurrection of Christ. This is something that, of course, the Lord Jesus prepared them for. Through all of his 3 years of ministry, he was preparing them for this event. But like most of us, we're caught in a mental kind of rut. And when the Lord tries to shake us out of that rut, it's hard to get out of it, right? You know, you're caught in it. Up in Maine, we have what we call mud season. That's our fourth season or our fifth season. And we get to a point where the snow is just about almost gone. There's still enough there in the woods, but the dirt roads that we're on are thawing out and becoming nothing but mud. You know, they were nice and solid throughout the winter months, but now the spring is coming, the warmer weather, the sun is higher in the sky, so now those nice, firm dirt roads are now becoming really mud paths. And so every time you drive through, you know, you make a rut with your car or your truck, and they stay there. Those ruts, they get deeper and deeper, and sometimes they get to the place where it's not advisable for you to go down those ruts because you're scraping the bottom of your car, and sometimes you're hitting the axle, sometimes you get completely stuck, and you got to get towed out. And so that's the kind of thing that happens, you know, and I try to avoid those ruts, but sometimes it's so hard once you get in it to get the car out or to get the truck out, you know, you want to get out, but it comes back in, and you're trying to get out, but it goes back in. And this is basically what was, in a sense, happening with the disciples, the apostles at this point. The Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, but they were stuck in this rut. And that was the rut of the idea that Jesus was coming to set up the kingdom. They were looking for Jesus to set up the kingdom. These were all Jewish believers who were focused on the promises of the Old Testament. And yes, Jesus is going to come. And he's going to set up the kingdom. But we know that at this point in history, we know that's not what Jesus ends up doing, because, of course, he knew, you know, of course, he knows all, that the Jews were to reject. And, of course, that opened the gospel to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord for that. And so here we are. We're the beneficiaries of that. But yet they were still thinking the whole time, the apostles were, as Jesus was little by little revealing who he was, they saw, okay, he's the, you know, remember what Peter said. He said, thou art the Christ. Okay, now, of course, saying thou art the Christ, the title, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Now, when he said the Son of the living God, whoa, Peter, you're going way out there, okay? You're going into blasphemous territory. You are going into an area that, of course, the Pharisees would not accept. They said, you know, as far as we're concerned, he is a false Messiah. He is definitely crazy, and he deserves to be stoned for claiming that he is the Son of God, of course, saying basically that he is God. So after all of this controversy was stirred up during those 3 years, Of course, Jesus was revealing himself that not only was he man, but he was God in the flesh. And the miracles were, of course, a sign, should have been a sign to the Jews, that Jesus is who he said he was. And so now the resurrection occurs. And as far as the apostles and the disciples were concerned, it seemed it was all over. They were thinking that Jesus was going to, now he comes in, remember the Palm Sunday, he's coming in, they're rejoicing, Hosanna to the Son of David, this is it, he's going to set up the kingdom, this is the beginning of it. And so, of course, we know what happens. He was, of course, the trial and so forth, and Judas betrayal, and all of those things that we know that happened the night before the crucifixion. So he's crucified. The apostles are, you know, they're just trying to wrap their minds around what had happened. And the morning comes. The women go down to the tomb. They're going to prepare the body. Of course, in this day and age, we the body is taken care of in a way to preserve the body, which they did not have back in those days, first century. So they were just going to put some good smelling perfume on the body. Not sure how the ladies were thinking to move the stone, but when they got there, the stone was already rolled away. It was moved. And of course they were, whoa, the stone's not there. What happened? Right? And so they go. They look around, the guards are gone, the Roman guards are gone, and of course they go in, they see that the body's not there. We know that the two angels come, and they say, "Why are you here?" I'm paraphrasing now. He's not here, but he is risen. And then here's what the angels say, which is interesting here, and we go to back to the chapter there, Luke 24, verse number of six, the angels are saying to the women, "He is not here, but is risen." And then they say this, "Remember how he spake unto you." Remember how he spake unto you. And I underlined remember, and then I put in brackets how he spake. The Bible says that they were, in verse four, they were perplexed, the women were. They were puzzled. They came to a scene that they just couldn't understand. They're kind of saying, "What is going on?" And the angels say to the ladies, "Wait, ladies, don't you remember how he spake when he was in Galilee? I mean, you spent time with him. You spent quite a bit of time with him, probably about 3 years. For the most part, they were about 3 years with the Lord in his public ministry. And the angels are saying, "Do you remember? Don't you remember what he said?" Verse number seven, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners, sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And the Bible says in verse eight, "And they remembered his words." They remembered his words. You know, brothers and sisters, I find that even these disciples, the women and the men that were with the Lord Jesus, imagine being with Jesus 3 years under his teaching, preaching ministry. I mean, you couldn't get a better teacher, you couldn't get a better preacher than the Lord Jesus Christ. And on top of all of that, the signs, the miracles that the Jews, the Bible says the Jews require a what? They require a sign. So they needed that confirmation, and Jesus more than adequately fulfilled those requirements. He did miracles constantly. Of course, we know that several were rose from the Lazarus rose from the dead. He raised people from the dead. He healed the sick, and not just a few, but hundreds. The Bible doesn't say, but that he healed many, many people. So I'm going to say into the thousands. All right, this was a confirmation. So they come to the tomb and they're puzzled, and the angel said, "Okay, don't you remember what he said?" They returned, verse number nine, they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11. Now, this was interesting. They say these things unto the 11, and verse number 11, the Bible says this, "And their words seemed to them as what? As idle tales?" That's kind of, you know, Brother Jason, that kind of go, what? How can you get to the point where you're now hearing the fulfillment of what Jesus has been telling you. And as far as you're concerned, this is a crazy story. I mean, what are you ladies? What? I mean, you ladies, I understand. You probably are so distraught. I mean, we're all feeling pretty down. So maybe these ladies are just feeling so down that they're making up this story. And the Bible says in verse number 11 that they believed them not. They didn't even believe. I'm just trying to think, wow, can you get to a point in your spiritual walk with the Lord where, you know, something, the Lord is doing something in your life and it's evident, or something in the church, and you're sitting there and you, if you've heard it, you know it's Bible, but yet you're just having trouble with your heart believing and accepting what the Lord is doing? It can happen. Happened with these disciples. Happened with the apostles of all people. They it's like, whoa, what's going on, right? And then there was these two on the road to Emmaus. They were walking from Jerusalem. They happened to be there to witness the crucifixion, but they did not see the resurrection. None of them did, of course. And so they were coming, and now we don't know, again, they were not the apostles. They were with the group. They were disciples of Christ. We don't know how long they were with Jesus. We know that they spent some time with the Lord. Enough to where they, of course, were impacted by the ministry of the Lord Jesus. So they're walking down from Jerusalem to this small town called Emmaus. And it's about 7 miles to the west and north of the city. So again, back in those days, you know, if you go from one city to the next, if you happen to have an animal like a donkey, you probably wouldn't have a horse unless you were, you know, you had a good amount of money. But for the most part, you walked everywhere you needed to go. And so these men were walking the 7 miles. Anybody ever walk like 4 or 5 miles? Okay, so you know it takes a while, okay? These men walked 7 miles, so they were on their way. And as they were going down the road, they were going through in their minds what had happened. They were reviewing what had happened, and they were just completely distraught. They were just trying to make sense of what had taken place. And Jesus comes to them. They did not recognize him. So somewhere along the line, here are these two. They're walking, and Jesus comes over and joins them in the walk. I almost find this a little funny, because they didn't even recognize Jesus for this whole walk. And so it's almost like he's just another stranger that happens to join them on the walk. And Jesus begins to comes in and kind of breaks into the conversation. And the Bible says, he asks them a question. What, verse number 17, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And then, of course, they go on to say, weren't you in Jerusalem? Didn't you hear? Didn't you see what happened to the Messiah, the one that we thought was going to set up the kingdom? I had the privilege of being in Jerusalem, in Israel, really, and we went to the old city, and we went to the place where they call the place of a skull, and it does. It really looks like a skull. You've probably seen pictures of it in a book, but you when you go there, it's really right outside the old city walls. So you go out the gate, and not too far from the old walls, the old city walls, you will see this cliff-like rock cropping that it does look like a skull. And the tour guide told us that he gave us a few reasons why he believed that it was not too far from the spot that Jesus was crucified. One of the things that the Romans had made a practice of is when they did crucifixion, they would really put it in a place where a lot of people, a lot of traffic was coming and going. So there was a good possibility that the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible does say he was crucified. There are prophecies there, it talks about without the gate of the city. And so not too far, he believes, and I think I agree with him, that not too far from where the skull is, Jesus was crucified there. And probably, of course, that's all built up now. But in those days, there was a path that would lead, obviously, to the gate, and the city of Jerusalem ended at the walls. So once you got outside the city, you were outside the city. Once you got outside the wall, you got outside, walked through the gate, you were outside the city. So outside the city, there was an open area where probably Jesus was crucified with the two thieves. And a lot of people were coming and going, and you know, you would know, you kind of picture this. Oh, here we go. There's another, there's another execution. Let's go see who's getting crucified today. That kind of thing. And the Romans wanted it to be that way because it was their way of course, maintaining control over the populace. You know, to basically say, hey, you mess with Rome, this is what's going to happen to you. So, the two. Disciples on the road to Emmaus were saying, didn't you see? You know, hundreds of people were walking by or hanging out where Jesus was crucified. They saw him die on the cross, and as far as they were concerned, he was done. He was dead. Didn't you see? Aren't you aware? And then they say this. Well, Jesus said, what things? What are you talking about? What happened? And they said this, verse number 19, Jesus of Nazareth was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. And then it says this, verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. See, they go back to that, but we thought he was going to set up the kingdom. We thought he was going to set up the kingdom. And while they're completely disillusioned because of their wrong thinking about the Lord comes in and tries to help them with that. Have you ever had something happen in your life that you were not expecting? You were expecting the Lord to do one thing, but he ends up doing something that you weren't thinking he was going to do, that you weren't planning for. These disciples had this idea of what the Lord Jesus was going to do, but they missed out totally on his purpose for coming, to come and to seek and to save what? That which was lost. They missed that whole point, and so they're all focused on, well, we thought, right? And how many times as a teacher I say, well, you know, and just to poke fun at the students, they, you know, but Mr. Pinto, I thought, and I said, that's your first mistake. You thought, okay? So it was wrong, okay? Your pattern of thinking was wrong. And so Jesus is trying to straighten them out here because they were all saddened because things didn't work out the way they thought it was. The Lord was going to work things out. Brothers and sisters, does this sound like something maybe like we've been there? Okay? But Lord, we thought you were going to do it like this. When I surrendered to full-time work, I was 14 years old. And I surrendered, and I had this picture of what I was surrendering to. You ever had that, Brother Jason? You know, you kind of think, okay, I'm going to surrender my life to you, Lord, and I already had it all. And he's going to do this, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do this, and he's going to lay me here, he's going to lay me there. And you know what? None of that happened. None of that. Didn't quite happen the way I thought. But Lord, I was surrendering to my thinking as to what you were going to do. And the Lord said, no. You're surrendering to what I planned for you to do. And this is kind of like what's happening here. Jesus had a purpose and a plan that these disciples missed. And so they go on to say, well, certain of the women, they came and they gave us a story, but we don't, but they didn't find him, but, you know, and they, in verse 24, you know, they kind of end by saying they found him, they saw him not. Well, we don't know. As far as we're concerned, you know, the lady said that his body wasn't there, but, you know, did you ever get into a conversation where you're kind of going back and forth and trying to make heads or tails out of an event that happened? And you say, well, what do you think happened? I don't know, but that doesn't seem like right to me. You know, I just can't, you know, no, this probably happened like this. You know, this, you know, and we try to kind of figure out an event that's happening. This is what's going on here. And as far as they're concerned, well, that's the end. Now his body is gone. Well, we thought he was going to set up the kingdom, but I guess not. Right? Jesus comes, and then he says this. Verse number 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe. Now, I circle this in my Bible. All that the prophets have spoken. There you go, spoken, right? Remember what the two angels said to the ladies? Don't you remember what Jesus said? Now Jesus comes along to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they said, "Oh, fools!" Strong word there. Slow of heart to believe. And what? Why were they sad? Why were they all kind of messed up and down? Because they didn't believe all of the Word of God. It always comes back to the Word, doesn't it? It always comes back to the Word. You see, Jesus saw the problem, and it was a heart problem. And you know what? The thing about this is, he's not speaking to unsaved people. Best as we can tell, okay? These are disciples that he's speaking to. And then later on, we don't have time, but later on, if you go through the passage, he goes to the apostles, and it's the same thing. He brings them to the Old Testament. Again, Bible 101. Okay, you missed it the first time. Let's go back. And brothers and sisters, if there's ever a time in our country's life that we as believers need to go back to the Word of God again, this is it. This is it. There is so much out there, and I'm talking about, and I'm using the term loosely here, evangelical circles, and things that I read, especially online, and things that I'm hearing from believers, and I'm on Facebook, and I have a certain amount of friends there that are believers, and the things that they post, and I'm going to myself, what in the world? Where did they get that from? Okay? And brothers, I find myself personally many times easily forgetting what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And it's so easy, brothers and sisters, to go back into that rut. Yeah. It's so easy for us to go to that way of thinking that we had before we got saved. And if we're not in our Bibles, if we're not in it daily, if we're not at the place where we open this book up and we just get into this book and say, Lord, speak to me, teach me, help me to see, help me to apply, then I'm afraid we end up being like these disciples on the road to Emmaus. I'm afraid we'll end up being like these the apostles and thinking, wait a minute. The preacher, you know, preacher will preach on a topic or on a principle, and we'll just sit there and we'll go, huh? When it's really pretty much Bible, but it's just that we've forgotten about it, or it's in the back of our minds. So this is what Jesus does. He says this. Well, he goes on, verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then he goes to do what he needs to do with them, and that is verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Okay. You're saddened? You're disillusioned? You're discouraged? What kind of problem do you have? What kind of issues are you struggling with in your personal life? Okay, this is what Jesus would do. He'd say, okay, let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the scripture. And let's get into the scripture and let me teach you some things so that you can deal with your discouragement, so that you can deal with your sadness, so that you can deal with your puzzlement, ladies. You know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm not too far away from where these disciples were. I find myself sometimes having events in my life that puzzle me. Anybody been there? Events in my life that sadden me, right? Events in my life where I think, well, but Lord, I thought you were, and then you kind of go, and you kind of come to church, but you're kind of burnt spiritually, you know? You might open that song book, you might open that chorus book, but you're kind of going through the motions, and you're kind of, oh, yeah, right. Yeah? the disciples were there. And Jesus says, okay, you know what you need? You need this. If I find myself going into a bad frame of mind or bad spirit, that's an indication that I'm not in the Word of God enough. That's an indication, Raul, you need to be in the book more. What's that attitude? What's that? You know, sometimes, you ever find that the Holy Spirit just kind of arrests you while you're thinking about something that you know it's not a good thought, not a good attitude, not a good spirit, you know? You get up on a Monday morning and it's like you get some kind of a, you know, okay, another work week, and you go, and the Lord says, whoa. What's that attitude? What's that complaint? What's that gripe? Don't you remember what I said about, right? And that's what I find here in this passage. Disciples have missed the greatest event in history. How did they do that? Jesus told them what was going to happen. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to rise again the third day. And he said it more than once. But like myself, like some of us, goes like this, right? Right? Preacher's preaching on a topic that's going to help you next week, or it could help you right now. But like the teacher in that Charlie Brown skit, right? And we're sitting there, but we're really not listening. And Jesus' remedy to any problem, any discouragement, any disillusionment that we might have is, all right, here it is. Let me teach you. And by the way, they were walking, remember we said earlier, 7 miles, okay? This was a very long Sunday school class that Jesus had with them. This was a very long Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study. Now we come in and we're, okay, all right, it's time. All right, here we are. Okay, preacher. You know, we only got about 35 minutes, so make it good. Give us all that we're going to get because I've got to leave. Well, Jesus never comes into a situation like that in a hurry. Do you notice that? Hey, these guys have, we got the rest of the afternoon. And here, and let me end with this. This is really great. This kind of dovetails with what our brother was talking about in Revelation 3:20. Okay? Look at verse number, I've got to get this in. I'm sorry, but I got to get this in. Verse number 29. All right? They got to the house, and the Bible says they constrained him. That is, they wanted him to stay. They said, abide with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and enter in, I will come into him and will what? I will sup with him. In other words, I want to fellowship with you. I want to spend time with you, but you're too much in a hurry. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. I don't have time, right? Well, these disciples, they were with Jesus a good part of those 7 miles, and you think that after that, you know, almost 7 miles of Bible study or Sunday school class, they're saying, okay, Jesus, thank you very much. Of course, they didn't know it was him, but they said, okay, well. But no, you know what they did? They said, oh, no, we want more. We want more. So then they say this. They said, please stay, don't go. And it came to pass, verse number 29 again, I'll say this, says, abide with us. He went in to tarry with them. And then verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And then it says, their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now look at verse 32. This is awesome. And they said unto one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Remember earlier, they had what? Slow of heart to believe. But you know what the remedy was? Jesus said, okay, let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Word of God. And after spending a good amount of time in the Word, then they said, our hearts are burning now. Our hearts are burning. Why? Because he talked with us, verse number 32. Talk with us, by the way, and he what? He opened to us the Scriptures. There it is. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, there's no secret. This thing about growing spiritually is not, you know, all of a sudden, boom. You know, it's not like that. It's spending time with the Lord and opening His Word and letting Him teach us. And that's what I need now more than ever. That's why Sunday school is so important. That's why Bible time is so important individually. That's the reason why I don't want to miss anything. But we're going to have a Bible. I just went through a Bible conference, Spanish Bible conference. And guess what? When I get home to Maine in another week, we're going to have a revival meeting. We're going to have four nights. I need that. I need as much Bible as I can get, because I don't want to get my heart to the place where it's slow to believe. I want my heart burning. And the only way it's going to get there is if we spend and we saturate our minds and our hearts in the Word of God, and we say, "Ah, Lord Jesus, teach me. Lord Jesus, show me what I need. Teach me. Give me something from the Word of God today. I need you to teach me." And He'll do that if you spend time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, Lord, again, this wonderful story. Lord, help us to realize what a blessing it is that we have your Word. And we can go and we can spend time with you on a daily basis. And we come to a church that teaches and preaches the Word of God. Father, we're blessed. Help us to take advantage of it, Lord. We know that our hearts are at times, we're just slow to believe, and we need to just immerse more and more our minds and our hearts in your Word. Teach us, change us through your Word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.